from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James. I'm Kyle. Hello, everyone. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon, their 1,000th show. If you've never listened to D'Lo and KC before, which if you're listening to us, I assume you listen to D'Lo and KC at least a little. Tap into today's show. It's going to be a ton of fun. People are already pulling up. D'Lo's outfit is as on point as I've ever seen a D'Lo outfit, which is saying something.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
It's not like, oh, he dressed up today. No, it's fire.
Okay.
Kenny's in a white t-shirt. I don't know what's going on with Kenny.
No, he's got to have something.
There's got to be more. There's got to be more than whatever Kenny's got.
I almost hit you up and said, do we want to wear like suits and bow ties today?
I don't have a bow tie, but I definitely would have worn a suit.
Yeah, just to mess with him.
That would have been great.
Yeah,
I wish you had done that.
Yeah, I thought about it. I'm like, I don't know.
I would have gone quarter zip and a tie with you.
Oh, there we go.
I know you're a big quarter zip and tie guy.
I am a quarter zip and tie guy.
Looks great. It's a great look. Missed opportunity. That's all I'll do for our 1 year show. Coming up on Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Thursday after next. So not tomorrow and not the one after that, but the one after that.
That's our 1 year?
September 5.
Okay. I just know our first show was a day after Labor Day. It was the Tuesday after Labor Day. Because we had that was our first show, which is, I think.
But I feel like...
Well, the year changes, like the days change.
I feel like, yeah, the Tuesday after Labor Day, September 5th. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Go us. That's also the day the NFL season starts.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that'll be our 1 year show. We'll blow it out. We'll have on all the guests we've had on, you know. In 2 hours, it's hard to fit guests in.
2 hours is very, very difficult.
Faraz.
Yeah.
We'll have Sean Cunningham.
Yeah, we can have Jerry on.
We'll get Jerry. Chris Biederman. We'll have Nick Wagner. We'll wear suits.
That's right.
Okay, perfect.
I don't think that they're going to throw a party. They're not going to throw a party for us, I don't think.
It would be so funny. I would love to see Kim's face if I went up to her and just earnestly after the show. Kim is the one who runs everything here, by the way.
Yes.
If you're unfamiliar with Kim, like everything that happens in this office happens because of Kim. So I want to see her face if I walked up to her and just very earnestly was like, hey, James and I have a 1 year anniversary show coming up in 2 weeks. Can we set up what D'Lo and Casey did here? Can we get that just set up for them?
Yeah.
I would love to see her face if I did that.
So I was just contemplating
2 weeks notice.
I might bring in like a nacho bar for the office for our.
Your track record of bringing food in is really strong, so I would not say no.
Oh, my nacho bar is bomb.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. ESPN predictions.
We'll think about it. Yeah, let's go.
I don't need to think about it. I'm in. All right, we'll get to the awards one, mostly because I don't have that one in front of me right now.
Okay.
Oh no, I do. Here we go. We have it. So this is from yesterday. ESPN did their predictions. We talked a little bit about some of their predictions about teams that will bounce back, teams that are going to decline. They have their award predictions now.
Mm-hmm.
Their number one, and this is just ESPN panel of experts. They vote, and then they list out based on their scoring system, their point system. They do these rankings. Number one on the prompt of who will win NBA MVP. Number one, Luka Doncic, Dallas Mavericks. This feels like a thing that's inevitable, right? Like, Luka's going to win an MVP at some point. And I think he's eventually going to win one, and it's going to be a year where the consensus on him winning is, wait, what? This was the year of all the years? This is where we just decided that he's gonna win it? It just feels like a foregone conclusion that people have decided, voters have decided, hey, Luka's winning one.
Yeah.
When? Don't know, but he's winning one eventually.
This is a year, though. You'd understand that because they went to the West. They went to the finals.
Yep.
Yeah. This is the year where you would think, oh, they're gonna he's got a leg up, and I agree that he should have a leg up as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the reign of Nikola Jokic might be as far as the Denver Nuggets being an elite team, at least for right now. Maybe we're selling them short.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they bounce back, but I kind of feel like that is waning and they're going to be more of a 4 or 5 seed.
I kind of agree with you.
And then we have this Dallas team that I don't think is the best team in the Western Conference, but he might be the best player right now as far as stats.
He averaged 34, 9, and 10 last year.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
34, 9. And keep in mind, his scoring averages over the last 4 years, 27.7, 28.4, 32.4, 33.9. He's 25.
Yeah, the stats he's putting up are
totally outlandish. He's been
already a Hall of Famer.
He's been top 10 in MVP voting in 5 consecutive years.
Yeah.
And the 1 year he wasn't top 10 in MVP voting, he was the Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is trending towards him winning one. If the Mavs are, what do you think they have to be? Top 5? Top 4?
For him to be an MVP? Maybe. But I don't know. The stats have been so, even the year that they, what did he finish last year? Not this year that we just finished, the year before that.
8th.
He finished 8th and his team was 10th? No, 11th.
Yes.
I mean, so he's one of those guys that almost the stats, the wins don't matter for some reason, because we've been kind of spoon fed that this guy is so great and this is what we're seeing. And I don't know. I want to see him take it serious. I want to see him come in like the greatest shape of his life.
Yeah.
Because I did not see that, not only in the playoffs, but I did not see that when we saw a little bits of him in the build up to the Olympics, where Slovenia didn't make the Olympics, right? He did not look like he was in great shape. And I'm seeing, Jokic go out there in the Olympics and look like he's dropped 25 pounds and looks like he's in incredible shape.
Yeah.
I want to see Luka have that moment where it's like, hey, dude, you took it serious. You stopped with all the nonsense on the, and you allowed yourself to elevate from a player who puts up amazing stats to a player who does everything else. Yeah. It's almost like with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. They just kept putting up the stats and you eventually had to give them an MVP.
Well, and that's why I think this is the year for Luka.
Yeah.
As long as they're like a top 4 seed and there's not some major drop off for them, because here's the year that Russ won it was the year KD left and he averaged a triple-double. Russell Westbrook won that year. You can talk to me about efficiency. I know James Harden almost averaged a triple-double and was on a better team. I understand all that. Mm-hmm. But Russell Westbrook won that year. That was the season of Russ. KD leaves. Russ takes over. They were still a playoff team, but he averaged a triple-double. incredible. He was going to win that award. Nikola Jokic is number two on ESPN's list. I don't think he has the narrative on his side anymore. They would have to be the one seed comfortably, and he averages close to a triple-double again, I think, to really get in there.
Yeah, especially the way that it played out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But yeah. But he's won three MVPs.
Yes. But I think it's the fatigue factor. Yeah. For him to win another MVP in a conference with Luka, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, LeBron James.
Yeah.
He would have to do so much, I think, to win a fourth MVP that I'm kind of taking him off the table for now.
That's interesting because he's won three of the last four, and yes, the other year he came in second.
Yes.
And probably deserved to win it that year,
mm-hmm,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the advanced statistics, like, he is a master of advanced statistics.
Right, but they didn't want to give him a third one in a row because he hadn't won a title yet. No, if you're winning, that was the whole thing, was you can't win three MVPs in a row unless you've won a ring.
Yeah.
So we'll put him in second place. Oh, and then he goes and wins a ring. Okay, yep, you're going to be MVP again.
But now we're looking at it, Luka, the same way. It's like you can't win the MVP because you haven't really won.
Right.
Now you made it to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Now you can get it.
You know, the Celtics are a buzzsaw, but we don't think, mm-hmm, Tatum's an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay.
But you just even said you think Denver is a candidate to fall back into the 4-5 range in the West.
Yeah. I don't think they're done. And
no doubt.
I think they could still win. They're still a contender.
Sure.
They can still win a title.
Sure. But the West is really good. They've lost a couple of guys. You could see them taking a step back.
Yes.
And if that happens, Jokic is off the table as the MVP now, no matter how good he is.
No, it is. He's off. He would take a step, unless he does something astronomical.
Correct.
Where we're like, holy cow.
Right. Averages 40, 30, and 10.
Yeah.
Which he's not going to. So the next person on this list is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
The top four, by the way, all in the West. Again, this is ESPN's prediction on who will win MVP. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, number three. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I'm not taking him off the table. He finished second last year.
Yep.
And it may be one of those things that OKC is number one, and he is the clear-cut number one again. Maybe that's the case, and he wins the MVP. But I think you're going to see Jalen Williams take a leap. I think one of the big talking points, if OKC wins the West, is the number one seed in the West, I think you're going to see a leap from Chet that is going to capture some of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to have the Alex Caruso factor. I think Isaiah Hartenstein is going to be there. And if they're going to be the number one seed in the West, I think those guys are going to play a role. And with the leap from Chet and with Jalen Williams being there, I think you're going to get a lot of like, well, that's a loaded team. Shea's the one on a really loaded team. But if they're the one and it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka averages 35, 10, and 10 on the three seed, Luka's winning the award.
I think that that's possible, but I'd also add that the players that they brought in, whether it's Hartenstein or it's Caruso, let's throw Lou Dort as not a guy you brought in, but a guy who's there.
For sure.
Let's throw in Chet as like the common theme here. Is that this is going to be a defensive juggernaut. Mm-hmm. Like this team could be great defensively.
Yeah.
And I think Shai is going to benefit greatly from the fact that Caruso and Hartenstein are in the rotation, and those are guys who don't typically score a lot, and he's going to be relied on. So if Shai, who averaged 30.1 this season and 31.4 this season, if he averaged 35 points a game this year, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think like
that's a really good point.
Jalen Williams is going to be his like number two,
mm-hmm,
and I think Chet's going to be like a Sabonis scoring number three, mm-hmm, like 17, 18 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
But then like where else is the scoring coming from? And so I really do think he's going to have an opportunity to put up huge numbers.
That's fair. I think I'd put him two behind Luka if I'm ranking these.
I do like 1A, 1B. Like
Anthony Edwards is the one that jumps out to me. If Minnesota is the number one seed in the West,
yep,
it's going to be Ant. It's gonna be the Anthony Edwards story.
He's so beloved.
I know. He's the bar, and that's what the bar for Ant to clear to win the MVP is so much lower than the bar for like De'Aaron Fox or Domantas Sabonis or whoever else.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has to, if they're the one seed and he's just the number one option,
mm-hmm,
it's like he's gonna win. I genuinely think if he averages 28 a night.
Yeah.
28, we'll just call it like 28, 5, and 5. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're the one seed. It's Ant, dude, because that's going to be the story of the year. Is Anthony Edwards taking the Timberwolves
back? He's there now.
He's a rock.
Yeah, even though Shea may be like statistically way better.
Correct. Yeah. Luka may statistically be way better.
Yes.
But Anthony Edwards is, as much as I think people want to see, maybe I shouldn't say want to see, as much as people just kind of, I think, lean toward, well, Luka's going to win one eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll get an equal amount of Anthony Edwards has arrived. This is the new face of the league. Last year, he was seventh. He averaged 26, 5, and 5.
Yeah.
If he averages 28, 5, and 5.
You know what's funny?
On the one seed?
Yeah, I think he'll be there, but we had this conversation yesterday, right? But mm-hmm. I think the numbers that we read, the numbers that I read to you guys came after we were off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, you want to talk about Luka. Luka's way up here. Jalen Brunson is a guy that I think gets totally ignored. Jalen Brunson averaged 28.7 per game mm-hmm. last year. He was ahead of Durant and Booker. And then it's Jason Tatum at number 7 in scoring. And then, for some reason, like, De'Aaron Fox is ignored by everybody. And this isn't because I'm like, I've covered the Sacramento Kings and I've covered mm-hmm. every single game he's ever played in. De'Aaron Fox finished 8th in scoring in the NBA last season, 26.6. And I want to read the guys, the next 12 guys mm-hmm. on the list. So it's De'Aaron Fox, number 8. Number 9, Steph Curry. Number mm-hmm. 10, Nikola Jokic. Number 11 is Tyrese Maxey. Again, all of these players are considered just like, Maxey is a darling. Number 12, Anthony Edwards, 25.9. Number 13, LeBron James. Number 14, Kyrie Irving. Number 15, Anthony Davis. Number 16, Damian Lillard. Number 17, DeMar DeRozan. Kawhi Leonard. Jaylen Brown at number 19. Mm-hmm. And Zion Williamson. Mm-hmm. If you ask the common basketball fan, almost everyone, because of the way that they're covered, the way that they're thought of nationally, mm-hmm. every single person that most common fans are going to take them over De'Aaron Fox, who for the most part was a mm-hmm. better player than a lot of these guys and a better scorer than a lot of these guys last mm-hmm. year. It's just kind of the weirdness of the NBA that a player who plays in a small market gets ignored and kind of left off every list.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not saying that De'Aaron Fox deserves to be an MVP, but if we're going to say that Anthony Edwards averages 28.5 and his team is the number one seed mm-hmm. in the West,
mm-hmm.
what if the Kings are the one seed in the West and De'Aaron Fox is averaging 28.5 a game?
Mm-hmm.
He's not an MVP candidate.
I disagree.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think there's a possibility, there's a world in which De'Aaron Fox finishes in the top three in the MVP?
Yeah. If the Kings are the one seed, I think it would be largely because you see a leap from De'Aaron Fox where he is just night in and night out. And we talked about it last year. Mm. He had that lull at January, February, where it was just, it felt like every other game we're going, what was up with De'Aaron tonight? That just didn't seem like a, but I think if the Kings are the one seed, I think it's because it is De'Aaron Fox ratcheting up what he's doing on a night in, night out basis. He's hitting game winners. He's lighting up OKC for 40. That's what I think it would take for the Kings to get there.
Okay.
With all due respect to Domantas Sabonis and to DeMar DeRozan, I think if they're going to make that kind of leap, I think it would be De'Aaron.
Okay. No, I mean, I think you're probably right, but at the same time, I don't see a world in which he's going to get that recognition. I mean, he can't even get on All-NBA again, and I don't know that there's a world where that's going to happen.
All this stuff about recognition comes back to, you have to like get on the map and then stay there.
Yeah. No, that's
like,
true.
We're in it. We are in here, and we watch this team night in and out, so we know. But again, if people voting who live anywhere outside of Sacramento aren't locked in.
Oh no!
They're
and
not
a lot
seeing
of them,
the same thing. So they
the
see
games
it,
are on after they go to bed.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they're what they see, and I promise I have not confirmed this, but I promise this is the case. The perception of the Kings is they were the 3 seed in a down year for the West. The West got better. The Kings went back to about where they should be, mm-hmm. and that's just what it is. I don't agree with that, but I think that's the perception. So I think if they forced their way into that conversation. They win 57 games and they're the one seed in the West. I think, A, that would be a huge story nationally. And B, I think it would be driven by De'Aaron Fox. That at that point, maybe he doesn't win it. Maybe Luka wins it, or maybe Shea wins it because they averaged 38-9 or whatever. But I think at that point, you would then get that recognition, because that's the kind of leap I think people were waiting for the Kings to take last year and they didn't.
Yep.
And so that's what, when we talk about this, when we talk about perception, that's the thing that always sticks in my mind, is I try and separate myself from being a person who's here and watches them every day and who knows that, hey, DeMar DeRozan's going to help this team. You can say what you want about the defense. You can have that perception, but no, this team is going to be better. But that's just not, if we go ask 25 basketball writers around the country, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Well, and I also think that there is the fact that a lot of writers last season believed that the Kings had overachieved.
Yeah.
And then they
definitely
were proven right when they bashed the Kings as a mm-hmm. team that's not going to stay up there.
Mm-hmm.
They were right. And I know a lot of Kings fans got so angry, like, oh, you just want to say it's because they were healthy the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to tell you, but the Kings weren't healthy in the last 3 weeks of the season, and they lost a bunch of games.
Healthy Malik Monk there in the playoffs.
Healthy Malik Monk there in the playoffs. And I'm not saying, like, hey, that's the only reason,
mm-hmm.
but, like, if Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter don't get hurt and miss the last, you know, 10 to 15 games mm-hmm. of the season, this team probably finishes with 48, 49, or 50 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to understand that the injury thing was real.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the only reason that they were good.
But it was enough to confirm priors.
Yes. And
it was
the fact that they finished with 46 wins and they lost more than they did the year before. Again, it confirmed a lot of the bias that the East Coast guys had against the Kings, and they're, like, proven right.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's on the Kings to win more and to prove them wrong this year.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they can do that or not, got to play the 82 games.
Yeah. The year, and I go back to this because I know it's hard to imagine this because of where they've gone, but Golden State was a little bit in the same spot, or used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the market's bigger. But they were such an afterthought. They had the We Believe team. That was it for my entire life, basically. They go to the playoffs in 13, and they lose in the second round to the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the playoffs the next year and lost to the Clippers in the first round in 7. That following year, the only person who had them to do anything was Ethan Strauss, who covered the team. Who was the only person who picked them to be about anything.
Oh.
And then they obviously have ascended from there. But that's kind of like, it's making the playoffs, it's making the playoffs consecutively, and then continuing to be around.
Yep.
If you're going to overcome that idea that, like, oh, that franchise just doesn't. And honestly, I think they're on, again, being here, seeing this team,
mm-hmm.
I think they're on the right track, which is really, for me, that was the whole goal of this offseason. It's just, can you be better? Can you put yourself in a position to overcome all the bias, all the people who don't watch, and all the people who have their preconceived notion about whatever the Kings are?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the year I think they take that step into, oh, they're around now.
Consistent,
yes.
Playoff contention, consistent playoff team. No, you hope that this is a year, right?
And God, I really hope so.
Well,
vibes are going to be down if it's not.
Yeah, but this is year three of Mike Brown. This is like you're trying to build a culture. Yeah. You're trying to build a team that should have sustained winning. This is the year you got to do it. You can't get to the playoffs once and then all of a sudden you look like the Minnesota Timberwolves with Jimmy Butler.
Well,
you know,
and bro, if you want to talk about negative perception, or I guess bias, mm-hmm. if you want to say that, if you want to talk about a negative perception of the Kings. If they don't take that jump this year into regular playoff contention, if they're not just comfortably a playoff team
mm-hmm.
this year and in the next few years, and they're in the play-in again and they're 45, 46 wins in a year where they got DeMar DeRozan,
yeah,
and they made it and they re-signed Malik Monk, that would
the shift will
the
happen.
Vibes would be so bad.
No.
I
agree, and like,
but I said, I'm not in the camp that they're gonna do that.
No, and last season's vibes weren't great.
No, They're up right now, though, man.
Yeah, they are.
I was excited for last year. Very, very excited for this year because I think it's going to be different, and I think it's going to be a lot better than it was last season.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be way more fun to do radio, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, if they're winning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they won plenty last year. They won a lot. 46 wins was fine. But it just felt like all year it was like trying to start a car that wouldn't turn over.
Yeah. It felt like every single time you thought you were moving the right way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, the car started this time, but now I got a flat tire.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like it was nonstop. It was nonstop.
But Malik Monk's back. DeMar DeRozan in the building. Going to be a good team. I'm really, really excited. We got more ESPN predictions coming up for you, including they did their Eastern Conference predictions. Western Conference is tomorrow, so obviously we'll dive into that. But their Eastern Conference predictions are out. And I want to plug the Kings into the Eastern Conference and figure out how we would be talking about them if they didn't play in the West. Mm. We'll do that next on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. D'Lo and KC, the 1,000th show coming up at noon. I see a ton of people already in the kitchen, in the lobby, hanging out. Warren, he's up in here. I see everybody hanging out. Good to see y'all. Appreciate you. And we will be back in a second on The Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I usually don't do this, but go ahead, Mitch. It's time for everybody's favorite radio segment. What do you got?
Hey, guys, doing? Congratulations, D-Lo, Damon, and Casey. When you're 1,000, another 1,000, and you guys be catching up.
Hopefully.
All right, just stick with it. It's
Thanks.
My vacation for you, Kyle, all right?
Okay, you got it. Thanks, Mitch. I'll never take another vacation again.
No, you deserve it. Are you telling me all the MVPs, they mainly been from large cities? And you were talking about baseball like an hour ago. Liz Miller. These guys are so hard. If they were starters, I would feel it. If I was a baseball player, I wouldn't be a starter. Being a reliever is like a step down. It's like an insult. I mean, Mariano Rivera couldn't cut as a starter, but I think he got a pretty good career.
Yeah. Dennis Eckersley as well. Thanks for the call, Mitch. I think it's less the case now that being a reliever is like an insult.
Yeah, I mean,
I definitely think everybody wants to be a starter.
Yeah.
But I think like there's good money to be made as a reliever.
No, I think, but there's not the money. It's still like,
for sure,
like the best of the best relievers are what, $20 million a year?
Yeah.
The best starters are 35, 40.
Yeah. Yoshinobu Yamamoto got 12 and 325 from the Dodgers.
Okay.
Like, that's crazy. That's so much money.
It is a lot of money. Yeah. I'm looking at, like, you brought up Eckersley. What do you have? Like 172 career wins before he became a closer and then became one of the most dominant closers the game has ever seen.
Eck was a good starting pitcher.
Oh, a really good starting pitcher. Like, and a guy that in this era, like 172 wins would have put you like really close to Hall of Fame contention.
Isn't it crazy that we'll probably never see another pitcher get to 300 wins?
I think it's crazy. We probably won't see another pitcher get to 250 after this group right here.
Yeah, probably like, not.
It's crazy.
I'm sure there will be some kind of unicorn that comes along.
Maybe, but they've got to pitch for so long, and what is it, Paul Skeens? Is that the guy that you're in love
Paul Skeens,
with there?
Big Paul Skeens, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at, like, how do we judge some of the pitchers from the era that, like, you and I have watched? Like, you know, I always think you look at a guy like Tim Hudson, who finishes with 222 career wins.
Who do you probably have this in front of you. Don't look if you don't. Do you know who the active leader in wins is?
Is Verlander gone?
Yeah,
it's Verlander.
Do you know how many he has?
270?
260.
Oh, 260.
And he's 41.
Yeah.
He's not getting there.
No, he's not getting there, and I don't know that we're...
Next on the list is Scherzer at 216.
Okay.
He's 39. Clayton Kershaw, 212, 36, and he's had injury problems. Hang on, I'm scrolling. I'm still scrolling. Oh, there we go. Next, Johnny Cueto, who's in AAA right now at 144. Oh, no, that's not right. Garrett Cole, 149.
Okay, didn't he sign somewhere yesterday? Johnny Cueto?
Johnny Cueto? I don't know.
I think he did. He signed somewhere yesterday.
Yeah, it's Garrett Cole at 149. Garrett Cole's 33 years old, and he's pitched for 12 seasons.
Yeah.
He's never going to see another 500 game.
It's crazy. What did you say? 300 game winner. Scherzer has how many wins?
260. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Scherzer, 216?
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Scherzer? Yeah, stamped, signed, sealed, delivered. He's in.
Okay.
For sure.
And he's going to finish his career with?
The same amount of wins as Curt Schilling.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. That's how many he has right now.
216.
What do you say? He finishes with like 230?
Maybe.
Ish?
Yeah. And my point is that like Tim Hudson at 222 and won't even be considered.
No. Well, Tim Hudson's just not a Hall of Famer.
No. Well, I mean, but when we're looking at career wins, like you play in an era where guys don't get wins. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's tough, man.
How many games do you think Pedro Martinez won in his career? Speaking of Hall of Famers.
189.
219.
219. Okay. Three less than Tim Hudson.
Anyways. I forget how we got on that tangent.
Yeah.
Mitch. Mitch in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Being a starter. ESPN NBA predictions. Rookie of the year. Reed Sheppard, number one. Zach Edey, number two.
That's crazy.
I don't want to go in on a Zach Edey tangent again.
That's fine.
Donovan Klingon, 3. Stephon Castle, 4. Rob Dillingham with the Minnesota Timberwolves, 5. Alex Saar, 6. And Zachary Risache. From the Hawks is tied with Saar at 6. I think I'm probably taking Shepard there.
Yeah. Maybe. Like, Donovan Klingon, he's going to be competing for minutes with DeAndre Ayton and with the Time Lord and with all of the other players.
Do you think a big man is going to win
Jeremy
Rookie
Grant
of the Year who's not a Wemby type?
And who doesn't score hardly at all? I don't think so.
That's what I think. Shepard's just going to have the opportunity and the numbers, and that's just kind of what it is.
Yeah, and I watched, you know, some at Castle at the California Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Was not impressed.
Nope.
I think Dillingham, maybe because that team, he could have a role on that team as like a star six man.
That's a good point.
Superstar six man. Yeah. Yeah. But then I also, I think that Saar and Risa Shea are both going to have opportunity. Like that's a big part of,
yeah,
of whether or not you're going to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of those teams are going to, you know, turn to those guys at a certain point in the season. Like, all right, what do you got?
Yeah.
You know, I think Washington.
It's a good point.
They, of course, brought Rashawn Holmes back and then they signed Valanciunas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Valanciunas signing was like, so they get to midseason and they trade him.
Yeah.
Just trying to asset collect.
Do you think that Alex Saar will legitimately get opportunities on a team with Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma?
I mean, he should still. Probably not, though. You're probably right. I don't know. I don't know. I think Risa Shea, though, like.
He's interesting.
Yeah, he is, because they still have, of course, Trey, and they have Bogdan Bogdanovic, and mm-hmm. they like, Jaren Johnson? Not Jaren Johnson.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think he's going to get opportunity, especially the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to be up there, and he's got a really good coach.
Yeah.
Quinn Snyder's still there. I think that they're going to try to piece that thing together, and sort of the backbone of their team will be their starting backcourt, but they still have Clint Capella. They still have some talent. I don't know.
Defensive player of the year. Does anyone besides Victor Wembanyama have a realistic shot at this award this year?
Absolutely not.
Like we talked about Luka and it just kind of feeling like a foregone conclusion. Okay, he's going to win one at some point.
Yeah.
Wembanyama, barring health, is winning this.
Oh, yeah. Like 100%. And I mean, Rudy Gobert, you can talk about Gobert all you want.
Sure.
Like, is he going to be up there? But he's a guy who, once again, basically, like in crunch time in major playoff games, got played off the court.
But again, but he's going to be in the mix just because that's what he is.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Like brand recognition, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. Bam Adebayo. If Anthony Davis stayed healthy for an entire season, he's mm-hmm. going to be up there. I think Mikal Bridges would probably like at number five there. That's tough for him
mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be playing in a front court with OG Anunoby. And like a defensive-minded team, and it's like, okay, like they could be great defensively, but I don't know that you're going to put him up in the Defensive Player of the Year category.
Yeah, yeah, that's that award is Vic's to lose.
I also, is it weird to you that like number six is Jrue Holiday, and who else is on this? Number 10, tied for 10th, is Jaylen Brown. The best defense in the NBA, and I don't think it's them in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
but like the Celtics are so good defensively and their players aren't.
It's going to be really hard to win a DPOY as a perimeter defender though.
No, that's true.
Was all NBA defense was four big guys last year?
No, that's true.
And Herb Jones?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that who's 6'10 or whatever he is?
No, Herb Jones only 6'7.
Really?
Yeah.
Herb Jones has big 6'10 energy to me.
Yeah, talk about a guy who plays.
He plays much bigger than 6'7 to me.
Yeah. He's listed 6'8, but I think the anthropometrics have him way smaller than
that. Yeah, I just like Jaylen Brown and Jrue Holiday can both be outstanding defenders. That doesn't mean they're going to be DPOYs, you know? Because I think, again, we talk. So this ties in a little bit with what we talk about with the Kings mm-hmm. and how much people pay attention. And this is it's really hard to follow an entire league, right?
Yeah.
So what a lot of people do is I think what a lot of voters are going to do is they're going to go look at metrics or they're going to go look at stats and they're going to go, wow, Victor Wembanyama averaged 5 blocks a game. Like, okay, he's just a defensive player of the year. Do you know how many clips are going to go viral of guys driving in and then peeling out because Victor Wembanyama is just in the area?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to win it.
No,
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
I think he's going to win it running away.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned if he didn't.
I would too. Herb Jones at the NBA Combine measured in without shoes at 6'6".
That is short. Herb Jones, not even good.
With a seven foot and a quarter wingspan.
Maybe that's where I'm getting the...
I love Herb Jones.
He's so awesome.
Yeah.
I super had the idea in my head that he was like 6'9", 6'10".
No.
Sixth man of the year? This is so peak. This is so
Stupid, stupid, stupid ESPN.
Malik
rankings.
Monk is one. Okay, Malik Monk is number one.
Oh, he's tied for
hang on,
one. No,
that's the punchline. Hang All on. Right. Well, that he's tied My for bad. Number one. It's okay. Malik Monk is tied with Alex Caruso to win Sixth Man of the Year. They both got 19% of the first place votes and 38 total points. Naz Reid, also 19% of the first place votes, but finished with 29 points.
Okay, like, look.
Hey, Malik Monk's definitely losing this award to Alex Caruso.
I
for sure.
I think Alex Caruso is a phenomenal player.
Really good right? player.
He finished 10th in Defensive Player of the Year balloting. He was second team all-defensive team. Mm-hmm. He averaged 10 points a game last season. There's no way, statistically speaking, the sixth man of the year it never goes to a defensive stopper off the bench.
It would be the first time in the history of humanity that people sat down with their DPOY voting sheet and they sat down with it and they went, let's talk defense.
Sixth man of the year.
The sixth yeah. man of the year is the scoring award.
It is.
Who is the best at putting the ball in the hoop as the first player off the bench for a team? That's the award. If Alex Caruso is the sixth man of the year because of his defensive impact on what they can do, because with Alex Caruso and now Lou Dort and the switchability, eat poo. I tend to reject the notion of like, oh, people hate Sacramento, so they don't vote. I don't think people hate Sacramento. I think people are uneducated and they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If Alex Caruso is the NBA's sixth man of the year over Malik Monk, assuming Malik Monk does what he did this year or something very comparable.
And doesn't start.
Yeah. Thank you. That's an important caveat. If Malik Monk comes off the bench and is just the same player, let's assume he does exactly this year, but he stays healthy all year, and he loses out to Alex Caruso averaging 9 points a game because of the switchability he provides the Oklahoma City Thunder's second unit.
Yep.
I will go to Bristol. It's not even ESPN only, but I will be hopping mad, real upset.
It would just not make any sense at all. Like, I look at that, and for me, I'm still looking at Alex Caruso as a starter for OKC. I don't think he's coming off the bench. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, dude, you know what? Peyton makes a great point in the chat. Naz Reid started in 1-6, man, so that may not matter anymore.
Well, yeah, but even this, like, how disrespectful is it to Naz Reid? Who clearly won the sixth man of the year last year because he started the final 18 games or mm-hmm. whatever and like still finished statistically way worse than Malik Monk.
Mm.
But he was he's third on this list. Alex Caruso jumped over Naz Reid.
Here's the thing. I don't doubt that Alex Caruso is going to have a really, really nice impact on Oklahoma City. Just offensively, I think he's going to provide things that help them more than Josh Giddey did.
Yeah.
I'm not out on Josh Giddey as a player. Josh Giddey is a person, but got a weird case. But I think Alex Caruso is going to help them out on both ends of the floor, and I could see him having a major, major impact on Oklahoma City just as a team and as a unit this year.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, without question. I don't want, because we talked about last year, Kings Twitter, Kings fans, the Chatty House, were all about Alex Caruso with the Kings. Here's how all these ways he could help. So I think he could help Oklahoma City. I'm not trying to say that. He won't.
I think he will.
But the Sixth Man of the Year award is a scoring award, is a points, is an offense award. That Malik Monk didn't win it last year, 2 years ago, is kind of wild. That he didn't win it last year is a travesty. If he loses it this year to Alex Caruso,
we're boycotting the award.
Legit. I'm already at the point where I'm like, what is it really?
Yeah.
If that happens, goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's meaningless, but it would really make me question, what are the parameters of the voting? What are we doing with this award specifically? What are we hoping to accomplish?
I think we already have that question after last year's debacle, where, again, Naz Reid goes from, like, he's in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. But, again, before the last stretch of the season, he wasn't anywhere near the statistical, like, production at all.
Naz Reid, really good player, by the way.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not trying to disparage any of these dudes. Malik Monk was the best sixth man in the league last year. It was just easy. It was signed, sealed, and delivered. Everybody knew it.
I don't understand. I even like his, here we go, starter reserve. As a starter, he started 14 games last year, Naz Reid, and it was down the stretch, 17.6 and 7. As a reserve, he averaged, in 67 games, he averaged 12.6 points and 4.9 rebounds. Like, again, the whole time, Malik Monk is over 15 points. He's over 5 assists. It was over.
Do we just need to put Malik Monk in the starting lineup half a dozen, 10 times this year?
Just to get his stats. Well, but I'm not convinced that you put Malik Monk in the starting lineup and his stats go up a bunch.
Sure.
Yeah, I think.
But is that just the new criteria? Like, you have to start for your team and...
I guess you have to show that you can go into the starting role.
Is that just a new thing?
The sixth man is supposed to be so specific.
It's a bench thing.
It's a very specific award for players who are your sixth man, not in the starting lineup. Like,
DeChef Monty actually found the parameters for us online. Yeah. I think these are, this is straight from an NBA edict. The parameters: one, must not live in Sacramento.
Yep.
I'm assuming that means the greater Sacramento area.
Yeah. Okay.
Elk Grove.
Yeah.
Rancho Cordova. Roseville.
Roseville. Rockland.
Natomas. Rockland.
Yeah.
Can't live anywhere in that.
Even where I live, it's considered the greater Sacramento area.
Like, you can't live in the sticks.
Stockton is considered the greater Sacramento area.
Yeah. Don't live in Stockton.
Wherever you can watch a Kings game, you can't be considered.
Interestingly, Galt, fine. You can live in Galt.
You can live in Galt. Yeah.
Two, must not play for the Kings. That tracks. That would track.
Yep.
Number three, stats.
Well, but stats like, they don't even matter, though. Like, we just took the stats and threw them out the window. Like, statistically speaking,
they're Malik just third Monk, on the hierarchy.
Yeah, but...
I'm assuming Malik lives somewhere in the Sacramento area, and he plays for the Kings. He doesn't meet the first two criteria, so, no. Like, the stats just don't matter anymore.
Yeah. I guess. And...
Napa's out.
And, like, look, I would have given up a pair of first-round picks for Naz Reid in this offseason. Like, I think Naz Reid
is... Yeah, dude, Naz a baller. This is not an anti-Naz thing.
No.
This is a pro give the best bench player the sixth man of the year award thing.
Yeah, it's just like a fair is fair. Like, it's give the guy the award. He deserved the award. The guy starts the last 14 games because someone got hurt and you took the award. You gave it to him as opposed to the guy who was the sixth man.
Wizzo Mac, and what we were talking about with the MVP earlier, this is why I think Anthony Edwards has, if you're betting, has such a good path.
Yeah.
Wizzo Mac said people were falling in love with that Timberwolves team and then noticed a guy named Naz Reid and it blew folks away. Like, that's kind of, they were just on an ascension.
Yeah.
And they made this run. They were there all year, but they were good at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And it was Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert and everybody. Oh, and then Naz Reid. And it was just the whole thing, right? The Naz Reid period was their whole,
yep.
Was the Timberwolves fan base thing. And that just took over. It took over the narrative. And so Naz Reid was the recognizable guy. Malik Monk over that same stretch was hurt.
Just robbed. Robbed.
Just brutal, dude. And this is what Greg Tabor said. I question all awards at this point. They're all subject to bias. And I think they're subject to bias for sure. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's a problem of just people don't do the work. I don't think people take it that seriously anymore.
No, I think you're right. I think people aren't watching.
Yeah, that's exactly
what I mean. And that's their job, is to watch, and a lot of them aren't doing it.
I'm right there with you. We could open a whole can of worms. We're not going to, because D'Lo and KC's 1,000th show is coming up, and frankly, I don't want them to start super late today, which they did yesterday. That was my fault, but it's all good. So we're going to get out of here on time today. James, thank you. Terrific show. Can't wait to be back tomorrow.
Shout out to Charlie. Happy birthday, Charlie.
Happy birthday, Charlie. D'Lo and KC, they're 1,000th show is coming up next. I see everybody hanging out in the lobby at Odyssey here right now. Can't wait to go say what's up to everybody. Can't wait to hear their show. It's going to be a ton of fun. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Bye!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.